With the Sabres game over, Bulldog flipped to the President's Cup, which I think I can now officially confirm the suspicions is fixed.
What's this now?
It has to be fixed, right? Because Team USA went up 5-0 yesterday. And, you know, why would they let that happen? They want people to watch this, right? Why would sports ever let a rout unfold? And, you know, go figure, 5-3, the international team is winning the two remaining matches. We're headed to 5-5.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Not only are they winning the two remaining matches, the scores on the three that they've already won, 7-6, 6-5, 5-4. I mean, they just had the jersey up over Team USA's head.
How would you fix golf? That's a tough one. Don't ask me that. No follow-ups. No follow-up questions.
Mess with equipment.
I just know it is fixed.
Mess with equipment.
Yeah. Food poisoning. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Sal, is this tournament interesting to you?
I'm super confused what even the heck you're talking about, to be quite honest with you. I have no idea what you're talking about.
President's Cup golf tournament. It's a Team USA against an international team, and the U.S. won all five matches yesterday to take a 5-0 lead, and today the international team looks like they're going to turn the trick.
Of course.
Yeah, right. Like Mike is saying, of course, because it's following the script.
So now we're going to want to watch it.
That's been written.
There it is. Now you know, Sal. All right. Bills-Ravens Sunday night. I mentioned a couple times this week, especially Tuesday, I noticed it because the Bills won so resoundingly on Monday night that the line didn't move. Baltimore has been favored by 2.5 all week. Sal, is that surprising to you in any way? Like, would you expect the Bills to maybe be even favored here?
I thought, it's funny, Matt Bovee and I did a Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast right after the game on Monday night, and we said, hey, let's predict what the line is, and we both predicted about 1 to 1.5 Ravens. I said I wouldn't be surprised if it was about even, but I guess I wasn't expecting the Bills to be favored. I thought the Ravens would by a little bit. It was a little more than I thought, and then it hasn't come down. So I'm not super shocked. You know, they are at home. It's Monday night. Sunday night. It's, you know, a very good team, obviously. So I'm not super shocked. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a 1.5 either way.
I know it really doesn't have any bearing on this game Sunday and this matchup between these two teams, but I did see from Jeremy White, one of our morning show co-hosts here, 20-3 maybe in night games since 2008, Baltimore, home night games. Mm. So, that's pretty strong.
Playoffs don't count.
Right.
Yeah, they're really, really good in that spot, and they have been. And, you know, a lot of it goes back, though, to those really dominant defenses they had and just were just – anytime you went in there, it was just like, oh, my God, you wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
And, you know, not only get a chance – you knew that you were up for it, but also stay healthy. They were so physical, right? And you remember those teams they had. And then, you know, even in this version of them, the, you know, Lamar Jackson era, it's been less about that. They've still had very good defenses, but just real – very good team with a two-time MVP now. They can do a lot of different things on offense, of course, but it's a tough place to play, very challenging. But look, the Bills are also really good on primetime.
Yep.
And they have a lot of good numbers on their side as well, especially on the road, to be quite honest with you. Josh Allen has been particularly a superstar in primetime. So I think that, you know, they've always been up to the task.
Interesting. I was just walking around during the break that preceded this segment, thinking about those Ravens teams and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Terrell Suggs, if you want them. And the reason I was is because, like, I know it's not seamless here, but I think when I think about the Ravens, of course you think about the MVP and the coach and the Super Bowls. Right now, Kyle Hamilton is the next guy I think of after Lamar Jackson on that team. And it's just sort of interesting to me how certain teams always seem to have a guy like that, right? Like Lewis, yep. Ed Reed, Hamilton. Again, there's a gap in years here. It's not seamless. But, man, Hamilton, I said this earlier to Jeremy Kahn with us in the 4 o'clock hour, our guest from Baltimore. Like, he's one of my favorite guys in the league to watch. That's, you know, a safety. I think he's a super interesting player.
And when he came out, remember that draft, he was thought of that way, right? Everybody said, this guy, he can kind of do everything. He's going to be really good at the next level. I think it took him a little while, but he is now, right? And he's flying around making a lot of plays. Now, that said, they've had some issues on defense, especially on the back end. They haven't really been able to get going and, you know, put together the numbers to match what you would think that team would be in the eye test is. They are 32nd. They are dead last in the league at passing yards a game given up. Now, I would also say, you know, circumstance through three games can be a lot of different things here. But in the fourth quarter, the Raiders came back on them, and then the Cowboys came back on them, and they gave up a lot, and then maybe they were just playing a little conservative, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say the same thing about the Bills and some of the run defense for them. But even yards per play, 7.48 yards a play given up against the pass. So, yeah, he's a really good player back there, but it hasn't translated to them mm-hmm. putting together that defense the way a lot of people thought. And really, compared to last year, guys, what was it last year? Let me just look real quick. Last year, yeah, here we go. Pass play, passing yards per play allowed, tops in the NFL, 5.15. Passing yards per game, sixth in the NFL. It's gone really badly compared to that the first three games.
Yeah, and that's a new coordinator and a real young coordinator at that. And Mike McDonald, the guy who left, was pretty highly thought of, so much so that he ended up being the head coach in Seattle. So maybe there's, you know, it's not been a seamless transition there.
Well, and I will tell you, speaking of Mike McDonald, his team is doing pretty well in that regard. In fact, I was just looking at that today. You know where they are right now through three games? Number one in passing yards per play allowed. Number one in passing yards per game allowed. So I think you're right, Bulldog. A lot to be said for the coordinator, what he can do. I had an interview with Sean Steppner, who used to be in Buffalo, obviously, at Channel 7. Now he's been in Baltimore for several years. We did a little Always Game Day preview episode today. I asked him about this. He said the biggest issue has been communication. And that goes to directly having a new coordinator a lot of times. If you're in a certain system and somebody's been there and you've been repping it for a while, it's a lot easier. We know that here in Buffalo, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer on the back end. You know, it makes sense, you know, when you have new players, you're going to have those issues. But part of, and this is to weave it into the Bills, it's part of the reason why I've said from the beginning, I'm not totally stunned that DeMar Hamlin's starting because he knows this defense so well. And look at the difference there. You have a guy who I know people don't know that, they say, hey, he's not as good as Jordan or Micah. But knowing the position, having the communication with a guy you've worked with for a couple of years now in Taylor Rapp helps a lot. And you have a new coordinator, but it's the same system. In Baltimore, they're dealing with a new coordinator, and the communication, apparently from Sean Steppner, said that's been part of the issue.
So all this said about Baltimore's relative struggles in pass defense, and of course, Allen is coming off another offensive player of the week, and the Bills' offense on Monday night looked pretty much perfect. It's still the NFL, right? It shouldn't look perfect every week. And right. We know how changeable it is. What are your thoughts, Sal, on that side of the ball here? Like, you have what you have in the Ravens. Does it set up well for the Bills to, you know, at least have it look comparable to what it looked like Monday night?
I mean, I think that would be a stretch to say, and you know, any expectations, it'd be pretty naive to think the Bills could do what they did against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just think that was, you know, a perfect combination, and they just played so well that night. So I don't think that's the case. But I do think there are some things that set up well for the Bills here. Now, we talked about the fact that this is not as much of a man-to-man team. They're going to play mostly zone. They're going to blitz a little bit. You know, Josh Allen's very good against the blitz. They'll blitz sometimes. It's not like they're, you know, going to back off every play. They'll try to bring it, and that could be part of it. If they don't get home, they're giving up plays. But one of the areas where the Ravens have, and one of the reasons why they've been struggling in their pass defense, they're giving up yards after catch. And the Bills have thrived on that, guys. The Bills are one of the better teams, believe it or not, in the league this year at yards after catch. They've designed this offense. They've built this offense. They've constructed the roster to have these guys to be able to get the ball and run. James Cook, Dalton Kincaid, and, of course, Khalil Shakir and what he's doing, right? Curtis Samuel. And the Baltimore Ravens are one of the worst teams in the league at giving up yards after catch. Now, that could be because of tackling issues. That could be just because of positioning and communication, and guys just have too much freedom to go. So I don't expect the Bills to do what they were able to do against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I do think the Bills have some opportunity here to do some similar things to get the ball in the hands of their playmakers to run after they catch the ball.
Yeah, like I'm more than expecting them to beat Baltimore team by 37. I'm more curious, if passing looks like the way to attack the Ravens, that's the most advantageous matchup. I'm curious if on the road in a hostile environment, there could be weather too. I mean, at least rain anyway, how eager they'll be to go that route. If again, that is the route mm-hmm. that has, you know, looks like the least resistance.
Yeah, I'm wondering too. Now, I would say just from past experience, the Bills, they have not shied away from having to do that in games. Well, I would say they did with 20 seconds left in Philadelphia, right? They didn't give Josh Allen a chance with 20 seconds left. And one of the reasons was because of the rain. It was wet. And, you know, if you make a mistake, the game's over. And ultimately, they wound up losing. I get that. And that's something that, you know, you will look back and Sean McDermott and the Bills should have probably at least tried to go down the field. Who knows what would have happened? But the point I'm making is, in that game overall, guys, it was a steady rain from start to finish. And the Bills still threw the ball and threw it well, and they scored a lot of points. And in the game in Baltimore a couple of years ago, I don't think they threw it as much, but I don't think that it's really played a big role in dialing down the passing game. As Eric Wood has said many times, if the officials are doing their job, the ball will stay dry, you'll be fine. Footwork, though, can be an issue sometimes. But from what I heard from Patrick Hammer today when he was on my show, he said you're probably looking more of like a nuisance type of rain for the whole game, not super hard. You never know. It could do that. But if that's the case, I don't know how much it's really going to impact the passing game.
How about the other side here, Sal? I hear your voice in my head talking about the Bills against Lamar Jackson over the years. It's what, three meetings? Or is it four now? But still, like, Jackson has not had his biggest games against the Bills, far from it. Is there a carryover scheme-wise to this point in time that's you know, useful information? I mean, we're going back 5 years in this matchup to the first time they met. Are you expecting some of the same things the Bills did defensively against him here Sunday?
Sure. I think that it's been a formula that has worked, but I don't think it's a super secret formula. I think what it is a formula that really takes a lot of discipline. Every team wants to do what the Bills have been able to do against Lamar. And I don't just mean the stats. What I mean is how they play. Every team would love to have that discipline. Every team would love to have that gap integrity and doing what you're coached to do to make sure you don't give up those big plays. Guys, it's hard to do. It's hard. I mean, you're out there and you're going full speed, and here's a guy that can do so much with his arms and his arm and his legs, and you want to make a play, and he can make you look foolish, and you can get really caught out of position. It's really hard to tell a defensive end in this league, hey, rush upfield, don't go too far, and don't necessarily, you know, have to go for the sack if you think you have him. He can make you miss, right? But you have to be able to do that. It's also really hard to say when he puts that ball in the belly of the running back, don't chase him down the line like you normally would. You got to be ready for him to pull it out and come backside, because that takes him out of the play. A natural instinct of a defender is to go to the ball. You have to have a lot of discipline. And on a week-to-week basis, you don't see that a lot. You don't see having to do that. So you have to train yourself for 5 days to not do something you're naturally, instinctively taught to do at that level. The Bills have done a good job of it. Has it been perfect? No. But they've done a really good job of it, and that's the challenge of this team. But they have so many guys that have been in the system for a long time. They've heard the same voices from Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich and other coaches on their staff, that I think they're well-equipped to be able to do it, at least.
Yeah, I think we touched on this already earlier in the week, Sal, but their experience against Arizona might be informative for them.
Yes.
Right? The way they played the first half was maybe a little too passive, a little too cautious about the things you're just describing, and in the second half, it seemed like maybe they got it together and got it right. So maybe that helps even this group that are familiar with what the objective is going to be. They've gone through it, and they might know and understand what it feels like to be too passive like they perhaps were in the first half against Arizona.
Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. And as long as you're doing your job, and you really have to. I know it's a cliche. I get it. Do your job, be your 111. But you do have to have your gap. You have to have your job sealed up. And if you do that, and the person next to him does, the person next to him, and so on, like, that's how you can contain an offense like this that is so dynamic with their quarterback who does so many different things. And I think they're playing so well on the back end. Look, we know their tight ends are really good. They haven't used them as much the last couple of weeks. But honestly, like, I don't see anybody there. Even Zay Flowers, who's a nice player, I don't see anybody on that side who is super threatening, who you're like, oh my God, you better be aware of where he is at all times. You just play your game. The way Christian Benford's playing, the way Rasul Douglas is playing, heck, the way Cam Lewis and DeMarcus Ingram are playing right now, right? I mean, you just kind of let them do their thing, And the front seven will take care of what they have to take care of as long as they're disciplined. I have Lamar's game logs in front of me against the Buffalo Bills. Three regular season, one postseason. Do you guys want to guess how many yards is his most yardage he's thrown for against the Bills?
I'd guess under 200. The first game is Allen and Jackson both make their NFL debuts as rookies opening day. They both go in. It's garbage time and get a chance to play. So that's just, you know, small potatoes on both guys. But I probably would say under 200.
Yeah, it's well under. The most passing yardage that Lamar's ever had against the Bills was in the playoff game, actually, 162. And he only threw 58%. The Bills have held him to 145, 144, 162. And running, actually, they've held him in the games he's played the full game, well, you know, when he started at least, 40, 73 in the game the Bills won down there a couple years ago, and 34 in the playoff game. I mean, that's pretty good compared to the rest of the league, and a guy that's, you know, won the MVP twice because he's so good in both categories.
Right. And he did leave that playoff game with an injury, but, I mean, still, like, both offenses really struggled that night. The Derrick Henry effect, Sal, is it much of one? What do you think here?
Sure. I mean, he's a load, right? He's tough. He's tough to bring down. You don't want to get him a full head of steam. And one stat I saw that he's averaging over a yard before contact this year. And that's actually way better than it had been the last few years. And that makes it tough on a guy like that. When he starts going downhill, you know, it's tough to bring him down. You better be physical. Look, this is the kind of game that you've got to put your big boy pants on and you better be ready to buckle up the chin strap and get hit, because you're going to get hit, and you better go hit somebody. That's going to be a physical game. There's no doubt about it, because Derrick Henry is just that kind of runner. He's very big. The challenge is, if you can plug up those middle gaps, those A gaps, even the B gaps, and you force him to have to go lateral, you force him to have to try to get to the edge, that's a big win for the Bills. He may get a couple runs. Heck, we all remember the stiff arm, right? Of whoever it was. Was it Josh Norman?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Right? I mean, yeah, he may get a couple of runs like that. But if you can force him to just get his body moving to the sideline instead of downhill, that's a win for the Bills.
Yeah, he is such a big dude for a running back, right? Maybe we all have a certain circle of friends who are just always hungry for like 6'2", 240 at running back. And the Bills have had like very much not that, right? I mean, Singletary, Moss, now James Cook, nowhere near that sort of stature. It is a very different, I think sometimes even on TV, it's hard to really grasp. I think where you are, maybe even if you're in person at the stadium, but certainly watching on the field, I think you can see how much bigger Derrick Henry is than, say, the average DB that's trying to tackle him.
Oh, it's amazing. And I remember down there in Tennessee a couple years ago when the Bills played that night game, and, you know, they came down to the fourth down and Josh slipped in that game. He had like a really long run, and he's running down like the middle of the field in the open field, and there's either Poyer or Hyde or both or whatever, and I'm thinking, oh my God, like, imagine having to tackle him.
I know.
Right? Like, and it's crazy to think about the speed and power that he brings. But look, I mean, they've used him well. They used him well last week. I think week one we thought, hey, you know what? I mean, maybe this isn't going to go well, and we talked about that. I still think, hey, to me, guys, it still comes down, if the Baltimore Ravens just want to keep handing the ball off to Derrick Henry, I think the Bills will take that. Like, we'll take our chances. That's on us then to tackle him, right? Like, okay, give it to him. We'll tackle him. If we don't tackle him, then it's on us, and, you know, you deserve to beat us. But if their game plan is just hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and then every once in a while Lamar Jackson has a play, I think that plays into the Bills, you know, their hands on defense here.
They went from more in their RPO game in the previous two games to last week. Jackson, whether he's going to hand the ball off to Henry or throw it, rather last week against Dallas, it was more hand the ball off to Henry or keep it. And he got loose a couple times early in the game as the Ravens built that big lead. That night in Tennessee, I can remember our conversations, that particular observation of yours, Henry 20 for 143 and 3 in that game, which was a high-scoring back-and-forth game, Bills and Titans. All right, Sal, hopefully the weather is not too much of a complicating factor here this weekend. Should be a great one.
Yeah, I'm prepared, or at least I'm thinking about being prepared, but I think it's going to be raining. Yes.
You're preparing most of the to game, be prepared. So you are preparing
I'm
to
preparing
become prepared.
I have been thinking in my head all weekend about what to bring for the rain, so I'll be dialed in on that. Yeah, for sure. Rain's going to be a bit of a factor here, guys, but you know, hopefully it's not too sloppy and we can see a good football game.
Umbrellas not allowed?
No. You know, I would say no. For me, I'm pretty sure I cannot. I've never even asked because I don't think it is. But I do think, like, over the years, if I remember, like, the TV sideline reporters, but I think that's because they're on TV and they can do it. Maybe they just have to do it while the camera's on and then take it right down. You've seen them on TV. You have them before.
Yep.
But, no, you can't have all these umbrellas allowed in the stadium at all, to be quite honest with you, not just on the field.
Right? Yeah, your image can't withstand you standing there with an umbrella. No, that's
no,
just
no, I would not do that.
You will never see me with one.
Right. Same here.
Just
never?
On. Never. No. Wow. I'm famous for politely turning down the tent access at like these lacrosse tournaments if it's raining. No, I just like standing out in the rain. I'm fine here. I'm okay.
Okay.
I'll dry off later. I'll be okay. I'll survive it.
I probably like going to the bus stop with the kids back in the day.
Right. That's exactly.
There was probably some umbrella usage there, but I've never like left the house in a meaningful way with an umbrella. Oh, I better grab an umbrella. Like, yeah. That's not right happening. But there's one right by the door. It's pouring. I've got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old to go get on buses. All right, I'm probably going to grab an umbrella.
I should have one for the dog. That would be good to have. Like right, try to keep her close when I take her outside. All right, we'll figure the rest of this out later. Sal, have a good trip.
All right, thanks, guys.
That's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Your thoughts on Bills Ravens, week 4 in the NFL. Welcome now, 803-0550. Picks at 6 o'clock. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Possession for Thompson. He's got a man wide open to the far circle. Shot scores. There it is. J.J. Paterka. In his hometown and their new home rink gets a goal. And the Sabres are up 5-0. And the smiles say it all.
Exhibition game today in Munich. Dan Dunleavy with the call from Buffalo. 5-0. J.J. Paterka, one of 5 different Sabres to score. Next up, the regular season opener, the first game of the year in the NHL. Next Friday afternoon, Sabres-Devils. Devils!
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sunday afternoon on local TV. Know the games?
I have not looked yet.
Here you go. Lucky you. You didn't need to waste the time, because I have.
All right, I'll do what I always do when you start doing this. I'm going to go look anyway, just to make sure you're right.
If the map at 506sports.com is accurate, see, which is where I always look.
You always say that, so that's why I go look at my Fubo app here on my iPhone.
Okay, I need you to do that first then, because you're more likely to be right looking at that.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I suppose. I mean, I guess they've never been wrong as far as I know. Sunday, 1 o'clock, CBS, Broncos at Jets.
Yeah.
1 o'clock on Fox, Eagles at Bucks.
Once again, we're in Eagles Town this week.
Yep. 4:25, we get Chiefs and Chargers.
Right. That's what I have.
Okay.
The four options, and I don't know anymore how much say the local affiliate has, but Denver Jets, Vikings Packers, that's a CBS game this week, Jacksonville Houston, and Pittsburgh Indianapolis, the Jet game is my least favorite of the four. The other games to me are all better. Minnesota Green Bay could be amazing.
That to me is far and away better than these other games. The Jets are still. I kind of want to see the Jets.
They're more important.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to see what kind of form they're in, and you know,
more local fans.
And if it's if it's a close game, that'll be something I'm going to want to definitely be dialed in on, because it obviously matters to us how the Jets do. So. To me, the other two aren't even. I feel Green Bay, Minnesota, I would watch 100 times out of 100 instead of Jets, Broncos. I'm not sure with the other two games you mentioned there that I would make the switch.
It's interesting looking at this map how important AFC, NFC is to these choices. Like, if you look at the Southeast, much of it is Jacksonville, Houston. But when you get up to Atlanta, it's the Vikings-Packers game. When you go west to New Orleans, it's the Vikings-Packers game. Around Houston up to Dallas, it's the Vikings-Packers game. Like, if there's an NFC team there, the choice was Minnesota-Green Bay, if it, indeed it's choice. Otherwise, it's Jaguars-Texans up to Nashville. Jaguars, Texans. So it really is divided. The country is so divided.
Yeah.
It's down right down party lines here. If you're an AFC town, you get an AFC game.
And neither of these conferences are really looking out for the little guy either.
Oh, no. It's so corrupt.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you. Denver Jets, Philadelphia, Tampa. 2 weeks in a row, the Eagles at New Orleans, at the Bucs. Throw out the record books, and then the Chief-Charger game late before Bills and Ravens Sunday night. Look, what is the top narrative for Sunday night football, this matchup? It's the MVP award. I mean, a lot of Bills fans, I would think probably the vast majority, would have said that Allen deserved it last year. He didn't finish second, but he was the only player other than Lamar Jackson to get a first-place vote.
Thank you, Aaron Schatz.
From Aaron Schatz. I think he finished fourth or fifth in the end, but still. And it was a fair argument last year. Jackson's team won more games, and that's the kind of thing I want to think, voters are going to not take as high of a priority when, you know, doing this. But here you go. Like, in an individual sense, and this is a lot of what drives interest in the sport, the quarterbacks, two huge stars in the league. One guy just won his second. The other guy hasn't won yet. Neither guy has gotten home in the playoffs yet. Allen's done a little bit better. But still, like, that's what they have in common here. And, you know, you kind of want to think it's Allen's year, at least in terms of Jackson. You and I agree. I think Jackson has almost no chance of winning this year, especially given how it started. But anyway, just because he's won two. And with this award, I think I would love to vote for it because I'd want to make sure I denied the legacy stuff from my brain, you know, from my analysis. But it's hard to. Like, Jackson has won two. Mahomes has won two. Most people, almost everybody would take Mahomes over Jackson. Allen hasn't won yet. A lot of other guys who were really good, like Prescott was second last year, hasn't won yet. He had a great night, I thought, by the way. So, you know, you kind of feel like Allen should be represented by this. It's still, though, a matter of this season. If he outplays Lamar Jackson, like, decidedly, and the Bills win this game, that's huge for him in this way. If he doesn't, he won't be favored next week. You know, maybe Jackson won't either, but that'll hurt. Yep. And this award last year, it was like every week the favorite changed.
Right. The whoever got installed, I'm almost reluctant to say this out loud on the radio right now because I think people are still listening, but it felt almost like every week the guy that had the great game, like, oh, he's on top of the MVP, the next week, that was it. It was over. Like, it just played your way right out of it. Just 1 week after being installed as the betting favorite. So hopefully that same fate does not befall Allen and the Bills here with him ascending to the top of that heap here after last week's Monday Night Football performance against Jacksonville. Because obviously it would not only hurt his MVP chances, but it definitely would hurt the Bills here with, you know, it's a devastating, it's a loss. But considering what they're staring at here, these next three games, I guess I haven't really thought about, like, ranking the three games, like, which are the hardest. This is probably the hardest of the three, I think. A night game in Baltimore against the Ravens, despite their record, I feel like that's a heavier lift than going to Houston at 1 o'clock next Sunday or going to New York the week after on Monday night.
It's really close, though. I think by the spreads, at least from before the season, every one of these games was the Bills being, like, a 2-point underdog.
Yeah.
And maybe that Houston game is different now. This one isn't. Right. I don't think the Jets would be either. Wouldn't the Jets be favored this week? Or would they not be if the Bills went there? Would they not be? The Jets are not really different from preseason expectations.
Right.
The Ravens a little bit are.
Yeah.
But the line didn't move anyway.
I was surprised the line. You've asked, I think, everybody we've talked to this week at some point or another about that. And I don't think I've ever said a word. I'm surprised it didn't move. At least like a half a point or even a full point. I mean, the Bills did look like the best team in the league on Monday night. And the Ravens have, you know, they barely got there. They barely lost their games too, but they barely won the game they won in the end. It looked very familiar. So I was surprised we didn't get at least a smidge of movement on the line myself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tend to tie myself up with these spreads, and if one doesn't make sense to me, I blame myself. Like my 100%, I feel like this is my miss. There's something about this game. I'm not sure I should be able to know what it is that I'm missing, but I think there has to be something.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Ravens have been an elite team. I don't think it's shocking that they're favored.
Oh, when
I see that line, I'm like, it worries me. Like it would for any two teams where the line doesn't make sense to me. Like, sort of, there's something I don't know.
Yeah. I definitely don't think it's an injustice that Baltimore's favored in the game. I just think it was 2.5 going into Monday Night Football. The Bills looked like, I mean, the best kind of house fire you could be. And it didn't move. And that surprised me. That's all.
It kind of tells you that the takeaway from the game was Jacksonville.
Yeah. Right.
Here's Zach with us. Hello, Zach.
Hey, guys, I'm calling on the matchup, but if I could real quick on the MVP conversation. You know, I think the last couple of years, a lot of the guys were deserving, but Jackson winning it last year was just a little off to me. 24 touchdowns passing, 5 rushing, 29 total. I mean, it just wasn't that impressive. I'm not sure what they saw other than the record and the maybe the seeding, putting him over the top. I mean, Allen's climb from where they were at 6-6, and then the McDermott drama, and then, you know, Diggs falling off a cliff and everything else to get them there, it just was just a little bit off. So when you just ran by that, Mike, saying he's got 2 and Mahomes has got 2 and Allen's got none, it just kind of irks me because you look statistically at Allen and Jackson over the course of their career. And if you just objectively showed those to somebody and said, this guy's got 2 MVPs and this guy's got 1, the only thing that sticks out is Jackson's 36 passing touchdowns and however many he had rushing back in 2019 when he was truly dominant. I think since then, you know, he reminds me a lot of Tua, where, like, you know, they don't really beat great teams. They eat up big in the regular season, and then he's nowhere to be found in the postseason. And then that kind of gets me to, I think the Bills are going to win. You know, I find the spread kind of odd as well. I think it's, what, still 2.5?
Mm-hmm.
They just must not be buying these Bills wins, and especially the Jacksonville one. Maybe it's saying more about them. But it was such a big blowout. I just think the Bills will win. I think they'll more than cover, and I think it's because they always have Jackson's number, and they always have Henry's number for that matter. And another thing with Henry is, yeah, he ate up and got big last week, but I just – never thought that'd be a big fit with him in Baltimore. He's normally a line it up, hand it to him 7 yards back. To hand a bigger back like that on a shotgun, I mean, I just don't think long term, the rest of the season, that's going to work. And the Bills' defensive line against the injured Ravens' offensive line, I think it's a bad matchup. I think the Bills will definitely cover. Thanks.
Yeah, well, if they win, they'll cover because they're underdogs.
Right, they're right. Yeah, the Bills have done, and McDermott's defense has done a tremendous job on Jackson. We ran through the numbers already earlier this hour. It's fantastic for a player of his caliber. And, you know, you can go either way on that. You can say, well, you know, McDermott's got some sort of secret sauce, right? I'm a little more, we're all waiting for the moment where we go, oh, man, I really miss Milano. Bernard being out is tough. Oh, these safeties. And I feel like all of that combined, I would understand if for me, it's in my head a little bit. Like, Jackson is great. I agree with you on the MVP. I don't like how that all went down last year. But he is a great player. And he has not ever had a really good day against the Bills. And it feels a little bit to me like, how long can you expect that to keep going on, right? Like, he's great. He'll have a day. Eventually, he's going to have a day against you. And maybe it comes Sunday night. I don't know. I think I'm going to pick the Bills because I like the idea of them getting points here. But with where they are in the middle of the field, with still no Bernard, of course no Milano, I just don't know. I sort of just feel, I already said it, I sort of feel like it's the law of averages. I don't know. I just feel like Lamar is due to have a decent day against the Bills, is all. And if the Bills can shut him down again, I mean, hats off continuously to the job Sean McDermott does on him and is doing overall this year with his defense.
Just to tack on to some of the caller's points, it's a regular season award only, so playoff history means nothing toward it. And turnovers are what get left out. You know, you can vote, you could think Allen was deserving last year. I think, again, that's reasonable. But he threw 18 picks, you know, like Lamar threw seven. They both have been hugely successful on the ground. Allen or Jackson really doesn't run for touchdowns as much, but the yards are there. He's top 10 in the league, I think, so far this year in rushing yards. And last week, third thing, he was under center more than any other game in his career. And I think that's probably, it's always matchup driven, but an effort to make it mesh better with Henry.
Yep.
And they both had great games. Thanks for the call, Zach. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, picks at 6. This is WGR. Around the league in a dash, and as I look at the clock, this is going to be one of the dashiest of dashes. Brought to you by Dashers Markets, celebrating 100 years, shop the family of finer foods. Do you think Davante Adams is really injured?
No. No, I don't. Is that it?
Yes, that's around the league.
Want me to read the Dashers right, line again?
Direct to Vegas and back.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I think they would be just as motivated to keep him from getting hurt as he would be to want to keep from getting hurt.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in season, I don't know how well they should expect to do in that trade considering the contract they'd be trading. But still, like, that's an asset and you're going to get something for it and you don't want that, you know, stepping the wrong way somewhere. So I think there's just as much for them to be protective of as there would be for him.
Wheels up for Brock Bowers, the rookie tight end out of Georgia, who has had a great start and nobody else is doing anything at tight end. So all the more reason to like him this week, I guess. The other tight end they have that they drafted right after Kincaid went, not directly, but early second last year, Michael Mayer,
right, the Notre
is
Dame
also out for this game. So what is it? Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Bowers on top. That's the Browns at the Raiders Sunday late. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, back with picks after the update. This is Football Friday on WGR.